This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Kitchen sink drama endures. Coronation Street brought working class lives to TV 50 years ago, and it became an international phenomenon.
December the 9th marks the 50th anniversary of the enduring television program Coronation Street, one of the early examples of what was called kitchen sink drama that emerged in Britain during the 1950s and 1960s. In what was cutting-edge drama at the time, Coronation Street used a style of social realism that for the first time on television depicted the domestic situations of working-class Britons and explored social issues and political controversies. The program also skillfully mixed comedy and pathos, a Coronation Street trademark approach that continues to this day.
While Coronation Street met with some early negativity from the press, it went on to garner huge audiences across the UK. Eventually, it was picked up by networks elsewhere in the world, including the CBC in Canada. CBC will broadcast the special documentary program, Corey Crazy, Canada Loves Coronation Street, on Thursday, December 9th. The documentary includes comments from Coronation Street fans across the country, including some of the 60 members of the Coronation Street Club in Qualicum Beach.
We're joined on the phone by Catherine Mortimer of the Vernon Morning Star newspaper. Welcome to People First Radio, Catherine.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to be here.
Catherine, you recently wrote a column in the Morning Star called Corey Crazy. The first line of your column was, "What started as an idea for a column ended with a film crew in my living room." Tell us about what happened.
Well, I wrote a column back in February of this year. Like as many newspaper writers know, we're often stuck for ideas. And a coworker said, "Hey, why don't you write about Coronation Street?" Because I'm generally blathering on about it to anyone who will listen at work. So I did. And a few months later, I received a call from the producer in Vancouver who was producing the show for CBC, the documentary Corey Crazy for CBC Radio, or television, excuse me. And we did a series of interviews back and forth via email and on the phone, and I happened to mention that my sister is also a huge fan. In fact, she's the one who got me addicted to it in the first place. So in July of this past summer, they came up from Vancouver, a cameraman, soundman, and the producer, and we did interviews, and they filmed us and did a series of different shots, and also including my six-year-old daughter, who is not a fan of the show, much to my sadness. And now here we are, December 9th, and we apparently are going to be on television tonight. So we're very excited about it. I'm having a Corey Crazy viewing party this evening at my home.
Catherine, of course, you're a personal fan of Coronation Street, as you mentioned, but you've also observed the program against the backdrop of society. Mm-hmm. What is it that makes Coronation Street such an institution?
Well, I think it's this wonderful combination of drama and humor. If anybody's ever watched a U.S. soap, and I did years ago, it's you can't even really compare them. Coronation Street is real life. It's serious issues from alcoholism, which is being dealt with at the moment on the show, to infertility. Loss of children, suicide. There's a character who had a sex change. But amidst all the heavy drama is incredible humor and incredible writing, which is at the core of any good television series, as far as I'm concerned. And the characters are there's a realism to them. They're not all glamorous, as you would see again on a U.S. soap. They're not all drinking their whiskey out of crystal decanters. They're in the pub. They're smoking. They're drinking. They're have curlers in their hair. Sometimes, you know, they're a little sloppy and they're rowing in the streets, and it's the realism, I think, that I think resonates for a lot of us, and because the characters, they have many long-time characters, so of course they become like family members. My sister and I always joke, we discuss the show ad nauseum with each other, and we often will say, well, my gosh, can you believe what she was wearing or what he said, and we're just horrified, and then we have to remind ourselves they are, in fact, not real people. They are characters on a television show.
You're talking about the characters and their impact on you and others. And my observation in preparing for this segment was that these characters, many of them have become icons of a sort. What makes them, what turns them into icons, and which of the characters stand out most strongly for you?
Oh, boy. There's lots of characters that I love. I particularly love the Barlow family, and Ken Barlow, played by William Roach, has been on the show since the very first episode in 1960, and he's had many, many wives and girlfriends. I'd have to look up how many. But certainly, a lot of the longtime families, the Barlows are a good example. They were on the very first episode, and as I said, Ken is still on, and we've watched his kids and his grandkids, coming and going through the show, and so I think some of these longtime characters and some of the things they've gone through, and because they you feel as though they're a family member. So we've watched him, you know, in the depths of despair, to joy, to everything in between. So they're definitely one of my favorite families. I enjoy Rita, who runs the cabin. She's recently left the show, unfortunately. The Duckworths, Vera and Jack, these characters have been, Vera passed away a couple of years ago on the show, but they were married many years and were constantly bickering, but they deeply loved each other. So we've kind of seen Jack's grief over losing his wife, and it always tends to be done very, I think, very respectfully and very, very true to life when they're dealing with issues such as grief, for example.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
December 9th, which is the day of this broadcast today, marks the 50th anniversary of the enduring television program Coronation Street, one of the early examples of what was called kitchen sink drama that emerged in Britain during the 1950s and 60s. In its early years, Coronation Street introduced a style of social realism that for the first time on television depicted the domestic situations of working-class Britons and explored social issues and political controversies.
In its earliest years, Coronation Street dealt with issues that had not been widely portrayed on television before. Christine Hardman was a character in the first years of the program. Following the return of her mother, May, from a psychiatric hospital in December 1960, and that was in the first month the series was broadcast, Christine dealt with deep shame for her mother's psychiatric history. Later, her mother began to complain of headaches, but Christine failed to take her seriously until May was found dead at the foot of the stairs of number 13 Coronation Street. It turned out that May had had a brain tumor.
In the 2 years after her mother's death, Christine Hardman's humdrum existence began to get her down, and she slipped into a depression. Here's audio from an episode in 1962. Christine Hardman stands at the railing of a bridge and is approached by a co-worker from the raincoat factory.
What are you doing up here?
Looking.
Where at?
All them fat little snails down there.
Can you speak for yourself? I was walking down there a bit back.
Fat lot they care.
What about...
me.
Why should they?
Of course you wouldn't know. You got a family, haven't you?
Oh, then.
If you was missing from home, they'd have the police out after you. Week's milk would pile up before they'd even notice I was gone. Then they wouldn't care.
Who wants them to?
I do. Suppose you've forgotten them crisps I asked you for, haven't you?
Here. What'd you last them, Giles?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, come on. Cheer up, love. It's not as bad as all that.
How do you know?
Well, it's the same for me, ain't it?
If it was the same for you, you'd feel like I was doing, wouldn't you?
I might, I suppose.
Yeah, well, you don't, do you?
You can't, can you? I mean, you just got to carry on, haven't you?
Why have you?
Well, you just have.
What, just carry on like that lot down there?
Ooh, what a life. Well, don't look at me. I didn't start it. Anyway, I'm going.
You coming? It won't do any good standing there. You want that lot to notice. You better go and sit on top of the flipping flagpole.
We're joined on the phone by Catherine Mortimer of the Vernon Morning Star newspaper. That audio from a 1962 Coronation Street episode was part of a larger portrayal of the depression experienced by a young woman caught in social isolation and economic hardship. The episode culminated in Christine Hardman's climbing onto the factory roof with the intention to jump. Street character Ken Barlow eventually talked her down from the rooftop, and the neighbors who had gathered to fearfully watch the drama were relieved for her safety. Mental illness, stigma, depression, and suicide, and many more issues, in fact, all within the first 2 years of The Street. Tell us more about how Coronation Street deals with personal and social issues. What have you seen in recent years?
Well, right now, Ken Barlow, who is kind of the I suppose the patriarch of the show, his son Peter is dealing with alcoholism, and we've seen him quit drinking, and he's now returned to drinking, and he's been in rehab. He's gone to AA meetings, and he's and actually done a brilliant job, I think, in portraying somebody in the depths of despair. I think that's a big one. The last few years, when I began watching the show, I was dealing with infertility, and there was that happened to be one of the topics at the time, which really resonated for me, and done just so respectfully and so realistically. And then subsequently, we lost a child, and that happened to also coincide with the same topic on Coronation Street. So while I was escaping from my grief, at the same time, there were characters who I could relate to because of my own situation, certainly, you know, everything from, you know, job loss and marriages breaking down and children going astray, you know, but again, the serious topics, and they're dealt with seriously, but amidst the drama, the humor comes in just at the right time to kind of break up some of the heavy-duty drama.
The first episode on December the 9th, 1960, also dealt almost immediately with a young man recently released from prison who had been unable to find work because of stigma related to his previous incarceration. How is the current series dealing with issues of law and order and prisons?
Well, I have to just make one comment, because that was, of course, Dennis Tanner and his mother Elsie, who was a very, very big character on the show.
Yes.
And I remember once she said to Dennis, you're nout to me, but you're all I've got, which I just think is a wonderful thing to say to your own son. But anyway, that's the law and order and prison, or the Nick, as they call it on the show, has come up frequently. Many characters have been imprisoned. David Platt, who's played by who's Gail Platt's son, has been in and out of trouble, and he was in a juvenile detention center where he met a character named Graham, who was, they were roommates. Joe, Gail's current husband, has been trying to come up with a scheme to keep the loan shark away from him by faking his own death. There's been many, many trials in Coronation Street. The most famous, of course, being when Deirdre was on trial and was framed and sent to jail. So there's been a lot, and it's well done. It always creates lots of, you know, wonderful tension and drama on the show. The most recent one was having a mental block now. I'm trying to think who was recently on trial. Gary Windass, another character who's currently serving in Afghanistan on the show. He's turned his life around. He's been in and out of prison. Steve McDonald was imprisoned. Prison comes up quite a bit. Becky McDonald, when the night of her marriage to her wedding to Steve, was arrested and spent her wedding night in jail. So it's a frequent theme on the show.
Do you think the program has become more dramatic, almost overly dramatic in the past few years? Can it still be described as realistic?
For the most part, there's been the odd thing where it's the odd storyline that has been a little bit outlandish, I think. The one that kind of springs to mind is Tony Gordon, who is currently in jail for murdering his wife's secret lover. That one went on a little too long and was a little bit silly, and he occasionally characters, they seem to be not quite sure what to do with them. So somebody who appears to be kind of on the surface fairly normal suddenly becomes a psychopathic murderer. So yes, at times I think it's gotten a little outlandish, but for the most part I think it's stuck true to its roots.
Now, you said that you've promised your friends a viewing party for the CBC television documentary Corey Crazy, Canada Loves Coronation Street. One of your friends has suggested dressing up as your favorite characters. Are you going to dress up as Betty Lynch?
Well, that is the plan. I'm still trying to hunt down a bleach blonde wig to do Bette justice, and she had the big, huge, you know, bouffant beehive hair, so that is the plan at this point. Hopefully it will come together between leaving work and starting our viewing party. We've got a number of people coming over, and we'll be eating and drinking and toasting and cheering, and I'm letting my 6-year-old daughter stay up late to watch the show along with a couple of her friends. So hopefully that will be revealed, and I can email you a photograph of us.
That would be wonderful to see. And are you going to serve your own version of Betty's Hot Pot?
Well, that's the plan. I do have actually a recipe for Betty's Hot Pot that ran in the Globe and Mail a number of years ago, and I have yet to make it because, quite frankly, on reading the recipe, it's not that appealing. But there will be something along those lines, yes. It may be just pizza, and we'll pretend it's Betty's Hot Pot.
We have just a moment left. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Just that, my sister and I often joke that people mock us for watching the show, and as we say, we don't really care. And frankly, the show's been on for 50 years, and so we're not the only ones watching. And in actual fact, I was born exactly 5 months after the show aired on May the 9th, 1961, and the show aired, of course, December 9th, 1960. So there must be some, there must be something to it.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Catherine.
Thanks very much.
Catherine Mortimer is life editor for the Vernon Morning Star. She's a longtime Coronation Street fan and appears in the CBC television documentary Corey Crazy, Canada Loves Coronation Street, which airs Thursday, December 9th, on the 50th anniversary of the first broadcast of the program in Britain in 1960.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.